Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
So this morning we get to read the very end of the Christmas story, the story that we read last night. And we will also get to read the story of those magi from the East who in most traditions don't show up until early January. If you harmonize your gospels in the conventional fashion, they don't show up for another couple of years, so this is going to be a long service. But as we enter into this story, please join me in a prayer for illumination. Gracious God, by the gift of your Holy Spirit, show us the Word made flesh, good news of great joy for all, so that we may sing with the angels, glory in the highest, and peace on earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're going to get to talk about gifts in just a couple of minutes here. And I am hoping not to gift anybody with whatever sinusy thing I've got going on here. So that's why I'm trying to make sure during those singing portions of the service that I've got my face covered for you. So I don't think it's anything, but there you go. So we are reading from the Gospel of Matthew this year. We've just started just a week ago with readings from Matthew's Gospel, and we heard last night all that Matthew has as the birth of Jesus. So the birth of Jesus took place in this way. Joseph had a dream, and then Jesus was born. That was more or less Matthew's version of that story. But then there are those bonus characters from the sequel to the Christmas story who always find their way into the nativity scenes, and we actually get to meet them today. So this is a little bit of heresy that we've got them all the way here on Christmas Day, but this gives us a chance to hear their story. This is Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And as we prepare to reflect on this story, just remember some significant gifts that you have either received or given in years past. Now, remember that it is still early on Christmas Day and we are public live on the internet. If you want to tell us about a gift that someone has not opened yet, you are doing that at your own risk. But I'm going to start with one that my brother and I received. I was about 10, if I remember this story right, which I'm sure I don't. Some of our gifts arrived from Delaware. This was before gifts just arrived in the mail all the time. This was back in the day when things coming in the mail was exciting. And so some of our gifts arrived from Delaware, where our grandma and our cousins lived. Sometimes the gifts were new toys, and sometimes they were money for clothes, and sometimes they were hand-me-downs. And this year, this large box arrived, not wrapped, not inside some other box. But, you know, boxes get reused. And so my brother said, no, that can't be what it is. My brother doesn't always tell me the truth. So what the box said was a slot car racetrack. Very exciting, right? And that turned out to be what it actually was. And it wasn't new, but it can't have been cheap to ship either. And so I remember this gift partly because there was this long time of anticipation about what is actually in this box. And I remember some of it just because of the size of it, and it was more elaborate and probably more valuable than some of the other gifts that we had received. And I definitely remember how long we spent playing with it after it arrived. So I want to just invite you to remember some noteworthy gifts that you have either received or given, whether they're Christmas or not. We have gifts today in our scripture reading that are thematic, right? The magi, these wise men, whatever exactly they were, they gave Jesus gold and frankincense and myrrh. One of those is a store of value, and one of them is a costly religious incense, and one is an embalming ointment. And so as you know from We Three Kings, those all have importance in different layers of Jesus' identity, and we will get to sing We Three Kings later on today, so just hang on for that. But I'm wondering if anybody wants to tell us about, very briefly, a gift that was valuable or precious, maybe because of monetary value, maybe because of some other way of being precious emotionally or the history involved. The piano at our house was a gift from Leanne's grandmother, and so that was a valuable, precious gift that we received. Anne, what did you receive that was valuable?
We used to open gifts. On Christmas morning.
But when I was 5 years old, we went to the Christmas Eve service at church. And in the meantime, Santa had come to our church. And he must have stopped off at my grandparents' house because he brought me a school desk that my grandfather had made for me. That was very special.
Wonderful. That is a valuable, precious gift. So the Magi gave Jesus gold, which is a remarkably useful gift when you have a new baby, but that's not why they gave it to him. They gave Jesus gold because he was born to be king of the Jews. And so a king receives glory and power. But Jesus doesn't want us to trust in human power. He wants us to trust in what God provides for us. And for most of us, trusting in what God provides means letting go of power or wealth or resources that we have accumulated for ourselves. Instead, Jesus uses divine power to set us free from the powers of oppression and death. And the Magi gave Jesus frankincense, a gift that talks or that indicates something about who Jesus is. So I'm going to invite somebody to tell us about a gift that reflected who you were, who you are. So I, every year growing up, received a Christmas ornament, and it was always very specifically chosen. And so as we get out the Christmas ornaments and read the dates on top of the box, you can sort of follow my life story, because each ornament is about what was important and special about that particular year in my life. Who has received or given a gift that is about who you are?
When I was growing up, I lived on an island, and so for my 16th birthday, I did not get a car, but I got a sailboat, and that was freeing, that was liberating, the same way a car would be.
Ah, wonderful. 16th birthday sailboat. So the Magi gave Jesus frankincense because Jesus is God with us. Frankincense is a specific, important spice, incense in the Bible that was burned ritually in order to make a sacrifice acceptable to be offered as a sacrifice to God. It's like playing music on the organ versus playing music in any other way. It makes that sacrifice acceptable to God. But in Jesus, God is not some far off somewhere. In Jesus, God is with us. And so we live as sacrifices, as sanctified, set apart for God in the world. I could have given you all just a little bit of frankincense this morning. Okay, how about a gift that turned out to be important later? A gift that was important, but you didn't know why it was important at the time, but that importance kind of grew on you, like clothes you had to grow into, maybe a book or a movie or a game that you came to love, or some other gift that didn't make sense at the time that became important. They can't hear you at home.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, you people at home. At the time I was experiencing it, I didn't know why. But my parents gave me a background that I had to live with. And now I know why. Hmm.
These gifts that we don't understand at the time, that it may take decades for us to grow into. So the Magi gave Jesus myrrh, which, in addition to being harder than you would think to spell, myrrh is particularly important in the ritual preparation of a body for burial. It's an embalming spice. It is the same spice that a woman would use 24 chapters from now to anoint Jesus before his crucifixion, because of course we know that Jesus didn't have time to be embalmed after his crucifixion, before his burial. And he didn't spend long enough in the tomb to get embalmed then either, which of course is how that story goes. So the Magi gave Jesus this gift that just doesn't fit with the others. But we understand why. We understand that Jesus' birth was a story that would lead to Jesus' death, but Jesus' death was a story that would lead to a new birth in the resurrection for us. Because Jesus' birth and his life and his death and his resurrection, they are all always interwoven. But don't do that to the poor baby's parents, right? It's just not a kind gift. Except that when we gather a precious baby in our arms right up there next to that baptismal font, we baptize them into the sign of Jesus' death and resurrection. We know intuitively that that's why and how babies are so precious, don't we? Because they are so vulnerable. We know that. So my prayer for us this year is that the gifts that we give and the gifts that we receive might reveal Jesus in our lives. I pray that they might be gifts of new life that comes into our lives today. I pray that our gifts might reveal the presence of God in every moment of every life. And I pray that the gifts that we give and receive and share with one another might be the power of God made real through self-giving with grace and with love. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
We will present and dedicate this morning's offering after a moment for mission from our partner, Barb Brown, who serves with Crew in Cairo, Egypt.
Well, Merry Christmas. Hello? Okay. Right after the passage you read about the wise men or the magi coming, we read a sad story in Matthew about the angel coming and telling Mary and Joseph to flee. And they fled to Egypt, where they stayed for a few years. We're not sure how many, but they stayed for a while. Today, Christmas is not celebrated in Egypt today. It's celebrated in 2 weeks. Most Christians in Egypt belong to the Orthodox Church, which celebrates Christmas January 7th. And the Protestant Church also celebrates January 7th. The Catholic Church does celebrate today. So a few people have celebrated. They are finished because it's now 7 in the evening in Egypt. But they did celebrate earlier today. So they are still looking forward to celebration. In Egypt, too, the Orthodox Church, most people, or many of them, they will fast from animal products for 40 days before Christmas. So their diet is rather limited. They actually can eat fish for this fast, but it's 40 days beforehand, no animal products that they are. Many of them now will start a week or two late, but at least the last week before Christmas, they will be fasting. And then on the day before Christmas, they will fast all day. Their church services will finish at midnight, so they will go home and have meat because they have not had meat for a little over a month. So that's always the big deal. After when Mass ends, you go home and at 1 o'clock or so, you have a big meat dinner. I'm not sure how you go to sleep after that, but they do. Also, I'd like to share with you a little bit about what one thing I'm doing now is we have two new staff in Syria. And a man from Egypt and I are their trainers for new staff. And Syria, due to the political situation, they are not able to travel to many places. They can go to Lebanon, and we can go to Lebanon. So about every 6 months, we head to Lebanon. I was just there earlier this month to meet with them. And if you ever need a place to pray about, pray for Syria. Their situation is incredibly difficult. They were thrilled because we had hot water all the time in Lebanon. Now, Lebanon doesn't have much electricity, but where we stay has generators. So we had electricity, we had hot water all the time. In Syria, they get electricity maybe a couple hours a day, but it might be in the middle of the night. It might be in the daytime. And so you don't get many hot showers. You don't do a lot of things when you don't have electricity. And recently, the government decided the price of gasoline was going to increase. This was just actually when I was beginning of this month. It is now, don't complain about the prices of gas in the United States. It's about $30 a gallon. And their incomes are much lower than incomes in the United States. So there's not a lot of particularly public transportation because those who have taxis, have small vans that they pick up on, can hardly afford to buy the gasoline to take people anywhere. So they have a very difficult situation in Syria with you don't have electricity. Some people can afford generators, but again, the gas for the generators is expensive. So you don't have hot water. You don't have, well, much electricity much of the time in your homes. Business, of course, do have generators. But they also are celebrating Christmas. There's a small percent of Christians also in Syria. I think it's less than 10%. But they're celebrating now. The woman I am training is very thrilled because her brother, he's living in, I forget what country he's in, she has two brothers in different places. She has not seen him in 10 years. He is coming back, or he is back now to celebrate Christmas. Many young men from Syria have left Syria, and this started, 10, 11, 12 years ago, because of the civil war in Syria. They did not want to be in the army. So they fled. Some of them fled legally, some fled illegally. But so there are not a lot of young men in Syria now because of their situation. Not only because of the civil war earlier, but then when ISIS was there, even more left. So if you ever need a place to pray, pray for Syria. But they also, too, they celebrated Christmas today. Some also will celebrate January 7th because some of them will celebrate both times. And it doesn't hurt to celebrate Christmas more than once. So Merry Christmas to you, and think of Egypt 2 weeks from now. Many Orthodox countries, actually all Orthodox countries, whether it's in Russia or Greece, wherever, they will be celebrating Christmas on January 7th.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.